everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Gamecast. I am your host, Martin. I'm going to break down, well, there's really not much to break down between the Mavericks and the Utah Jazz. I'm going to be honest with you, the game is still going on right now. It's the end of the third. Jazz are up 98-73. I decided to stop watching it because what's the point? Why waste my evening watching the Mavericks when they're going to play like this and when they're going to put a product out there like this? It's not worth my time. It's not worth my time and energy and passion and everything that I love about the Mavericks. We don't get it because they decide to play like this. And you know what? I don't want to hear any excuses. We've been giving them a free pass with all these guys being out, with all the injuries that they've had. But this is absolutely unacceptable. The Utah Jazz are on the second night of a back-to-back, and they are without their best player, and we didn't show up to play. Not only that, the Jazz, they're the ones that came out with force and fire and energy and passion. And the Mavericks did it for about two possessions. And then once the Jazz started making shots, they were done. The Mavericks were done. They decided they didn't want to play anymore. And I don't know really what to expect. This team is not very good. They don't have very good players. They have one good player in Luka Doncic. And the Mavericks as an organization refuse to bring in quality players because they don't want to pay anybody more than a one-year deal, unless they are a franchise player. Everybody else, they don't get any money from the Mavericks. Whereas the Utah Jazz, what do they decide to do? Well, they have Donovan Mitchell. They have Rudy Gobert. Well, how do we get better? Let's go sign Bojan Bogdanovic, who was available, who the Mavericks could have gotten if they wanted him. But no. Utah signs him. Because Utah wants to win. Utah trades for Mike Conley, even though he's making $30 million a year, because they want to win. Utah trades for Jordan Clarkson because they want to win. They get guys that are good, that can play basketball, because they want to win basketball games. But the Mavericks refuse to sign anybody that they don't think is a franchise player. And they use their analytics, because they're huge in analytics, and I love analytics when it comes to basketball. I think you can see a lot of value in guys, but they take it too far. They shoot themselves in the foot. They're saying analysis can be paralysis. They prevent themselves from getting quality players because of one obscure analytic that tells them this guy isn't as good as $25 million a year. Case in point, Andre Drummond. You can't tell me the Mavericks couldn't have gotten Andre Drummond if they wanted him. He was readily being shopped. I can't imagine he's not being shopped right now. Cleveland would, in my opinion, they would probably take anything for him because he's going to leave in free agency. But no. The Mavs probably have no interest in Drummond because of some stat out there, or because of Porzingis is going to play the five. That's just one example. The point is, these other teams, Phoenix, what do they decide to do? They go and get Chris Paul. They don't care about the $40 million a year. They want to win. So these other teams, they make trades, they make signings for guys that are actually good at basketball. And they understand these guys are making a lot of money, but they want to win. And that's what you have to do in this league, is you got to pay. When the Mavericks won the championship in 2011, they had the highest salary in the league that year. They were paying the most for their team than anybody else in the league, and they won the championship. They're going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay to get some guys. And there are guys out there in the league right now that are on the market that the Mavericks could easily get if they so choose. I think you also, They got to move on from Porzingis. Porzingis cannot play defense. He is a terrible, terrible defender. He doesn't know where to be on the defensive end of the court. He's got slow feet. He doesn't move well. He doesn't use his size very well. He gets pushed around like he's not even there because he weighs 130 pounds. Rudy Gobert looks like the best player in the league. Looks like Wilt Chamberlain against the Mavericks. He had 20 points and 11 rebounds at halftime. We'd be happy if we got that from Porzingis in an entire game. He cannot hit an open shot. He had a turnaround post move. The first play of the second half, I believe. He is a foot away from the basket. A foot. He does a turnaround and he shorts it. He hits the front rim. You're a foot away. And yet he wants to say that he's a post-up player, that he likes to get the ball in the post. That's his game. Yet you can't make a bat. You're a foot away. I think the Mavericks need to trade him before the jury's out on him, before people realize he's not actually that good. There was so much potential. He has shown flashes and moments of being a really good player. But he's just not. He thinks too much. He doesn't play within the flow. He wants to play his style. And he refuses to play the style that the Mavericks have set out for him. And when the games that he's had his best games in Dallas is when he has just played. He just played within the system. He cut to the basket. He would shoot shots that were in rhythm. He wouldn't do very many post-ups because that's just not his game. But he refuses to play that way on a night-to-night basis. He continues to insist that he gets these post-up moves. He's not ever in rhythm. He's just not a very good player, and he cannot play defense. He's supposed to be our defensive anchor, and he can't play defense. And you can throw these two blocks out there all you want. And this is where, you know, the whole analytics thing. This is what the Mavericks do. Guys that are putting up big numbers, they're like, oh yeah, but that doesn't tell you the whole story. Well, the two blocks a game doesn't tell you the whole story with Porzingis. If you just watch the game, players get what they want. When he is the defender in the pick and roll, they get whatever they want. They go wherever they want. He doesn't have very quick hands. It's absolutely embarrassing. The way they came out to play. And again, the only player that looks like he belongs on an NBA court is Luka. He's the only guy in the Mavericks that looks like he even belongs out there. All the other guys are a bunch of G League players. I know that's a little harsh to some of these players. Like Josh Richardson, I think, is a decent player. But I don't know if any of these guys, I don't know if Dorian is playing if he were on the Jazz or on Denver or an LA team, one of the LA teams, or Boston or Philly. Does he even see the court? I don't think so. I don't think he does. Dwight Powell obviously wouldn't play. That's the Mavs roster. And they think so highly of their own guys. They think so highly of Maxey and Dorian and Richardson and Dwight Powell that they don't bring anybody else in. They don't upgrade these positions because they think they have a bargain. They're paying Dwight Powell $10 million a year. They think that's a bargain because the advanced stats show that when he is on the court, the Mavericks have the number one offense in the league, or at least they did, without considering the fact that you had the number one offensive player in the league. And Luka Doncic, who is probably the best passer in the league. And maybe that's the result of why the team is so good. And not because you have a guy who can jump high. Brandon Wright was one of the highest rated player in advanced stats when he was with Dallas. He goes to another team, can't even see the court. Perhaps it's the Mavericks system then that helps these bigs who can jump be good or be quality players. And not so much the fact that it's Dwight Powell. And to be fair, I'm not even going to harp on Powell. It has nothing. They're done with him. You saw him play tonight because Carlisle was looking for somebody that actually wanted to play. Again, it looked like the Mavericks decided to play for the first 3 minutes of the game, and then they were done. The defense, 69 points in the first half. That's not three games in a row with 69 or more points. Back-to-back games of 70 points in the first half, and then tonight the Jazz score 69 without their best player on the second night of a back-to-back. And all these excuses that we would give the Mavs, oh, they're out all these players. It's the second night of a back-to-back. All the travel, all these games. That's why they're not playing very good. Well, we just saw a team do it without their best player. Can you imagine Luka not playing? How this team would look? It's absolutely unacceptable that they refuse to bring in other players. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do because I don't know if I want to continue to watch this season, if the season continues to go this way. Why would I invest my time in watching this team? The only reason I watch right now is because of Luka. But if you're losing, that's not fun. And it's not going to be fun for Luka. And if you don't, another thing that I think they're doing is that prevents him from signing anybody is anybody that's over the age of, 27, they don't have any interest in. Because they're building a team. They're building it. Players age very quickly, and they can continue to prevent themselves from getting players that are good, regardless of their age. And then one day, Luka's going to be 27 years old, and you never put anybody around him because you were afraid to sign anybody that was over the age of 30. The oldest guy on the team right now is 32, James Johnson. And I don't give a crap what the Mavericks sold you as why they got him as the toughness and enforcer of this team. That's what they sold you on. The real reason they got him is because he was on a one-year deal and his contract is expiring and they want to have max salary cap space available for free agency because they have such a good history and record of signing max guys. You could even make that same case for Josh Richardson, why they traded for him. Oh, he's great at defense. He's a great fit next to Luka. We've always looked at him as a fit next to Luka. That's what they told you. But in reality, he was an expiring contract. So they were probably thinking, okay, you know, we'll get him. If he fits, we'll keep him. But if he doesn't, we have an expiring deal. They weren't concerned about this year. There's reports that the Mavericks, I think it was Mavs Moneyball, this last summer, they were trying to use their mid-level exception on Mark Gasol. The guy, that was going to be their big free agent signing, Mark Gasol. Now, to be fair, the Mavericks really could use him right now because they suck at rebounding because they're soft. They're slow to the basketball. They don't play with heart and passion. But Mark Gasol. Now, people are going to say, well, what did you expect him to do? They didn't have any money. That doesn't matter. In the NBA today, having salary cap space does not matter. If you want a guy and he wants to come to you, teams will make it work. They can do sign and trades. The fact is, the Mavericks do not go after anybody. And if they are, then they are the best team in the league at hiding what their actual goals are. And they're also the worst team in the league at signing and fulfilling. And they have a plan A, B, C, and D every offseason. I doubt they ever have fulfilled plan A. So we're going to continue to put this team, this product out there. And the way it's going to go is the way it's gone the last season. When the guys are hot and they're all hitting their open shots and the other team isn't, the Mavericks are going to win. But if the other team is hitting their shots, regardless, we may win if our guys are hitting them. But if our guys aren't hitting shots and the other team is hitting theirs, it's over. Now you can say, well, that's any team. Well, that's correct. Unfortunately, that happens a lot for us because we only have one guy that can hit his shot on a consistent basis. The rest of them are role players. They're on and off. You never know what Tim Hardaway is going to do. You never know if Dorian's going to hit his shots or Maxey or Josh Richardson. On the rare occasion, we get where they all make them at the same time and the Mavericks win and they look great and their offense looks flawless and you're like, hey, this team actually might be pretty good. But in reality, they just happen to hit a lot of their shots. The difference between the Mavericks and good team is they have players that can hit shots consistently. Night in and night out, they go out there and they hit buckets. On occasion, their shot isn't falling for them, but they're such a good defensive team that they still may win that game. And then sometimes they may lose. Even the best teams in the league, they can't win every single game. But the Mavericks are so dependent on if their role players are going to make shots and the other team missing their shots, they have no chance. They're not a very good team. Their roster is not very good. A lot of these guys that the Mavericks play wouldn't even play on these other teams. And you can say that's harsh. It may be harsh, but that's just the reality of it. And they're going to have to make some changes, or Luka's going to go. Why would he stay if you refuse to sign players or trade players? Because you don't want to pay anybody more than a one-year deal. You can't sign anybody outside of that unless their name is Trey Burke or Willie Cauley-Stein, guys that wouldn't even be in the league unless you sign them. Trey Burke wasn't in the league. I don't know. I want to talk a little bit more about Porzingis because I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's a very good player. I think he's shown flashes that he can score, but he is such a liability on the defensive end of the court. And I think the Mavericks tried to hide that. They try to act like it's not Porzingis. But it's clearly Porzingis. If you watch this game tonight, it gives you a picture of how it's been all season when he is playing the center position. And I've been a big advocate. I've been saying that you cannot play Porzingis at the four because of his defense. I don't think you can play him at the five. I think if the Mavericks were a good team and they were in the playoffs and they were going against Utah, in the fourth quarter, Porzingis wouldn't even see the court. He'd get played off the court like centers have done over the last couple of years. Now, some centers have gotten better defensively, like Gobert, where he can stay on the court now. Even Jokic. But Porzingis isn't very good. He's so inconsistent offensively. He insists on getting his post-ups. He can't hit open shots. He's just not very good. And I think the Mavericks need to move on from him while his trade value is still high. When you can still get a lot in return from him. At some point, teams will catch on. GMs will catch on. Other teams will notice that he's not actually very good, and they're not going to take him. It's going to be like Kevin Love in Cleveland. They're paying Kevin Love $30 million a year. Nobody wants him because of all the deficiencies that he has on the court. And I think at some point that's going to happen to Porzingis. He's just not very good. So I think the Mavericks need to trade him. At this point, I trade him for a sack of potatoes. You can't sit there as a Mavs organization and tell yourselves you don't need Drummond. And I've never even been a big fan of Drummond. But you cannot deny what he has done. He is a better player than Kristaps Porzingis right now. I don't give a crap that he can't shoot the basketball or he doesn't make his free throws consistently. Well, I got news for you. Porzingis misses a lot of free throws too for a guy that's supposed to be a sniper. You instantly, if you had Drummond, you instantly become one of the best rebounding teams in this league. That's clearly a problem for this Mavericks team. They cannot rebound the basketball, and that's because Porzingis isn't a very good rebounder. The only good rebounder they have on this team is Luka. So, I don't know. Why not give Drummond a shot? I know they've never shown interest in him in the past, apparently. Because I'm sure there's an advanced stat out there somewhere that says he's not a very good player. But you know what? If you can make Dwight Powell and Brandon Wright relevant in this league when they play in this system, imagine a guy who actually puts up numbers. What could they do in this system? What could they do? What could they provide in a pick and roll with Luka Doncic? If Dwight Powell is the number one offensive rated player in the league when he is on the court, or the Mavericks have the number one offensive rating in the league when he is on the court, what could they do with a guy that can actually play basketball in Andre Drummond? How good would they make him be? How much of his advanced numbers would change or go up if he were in the Maverick system and not in Cleveland? They're not even trying to win. Let's look at the score. 111-95. And 4 minutes left in the fourth, so the game's over. Essentially, it'd be a miracle if they came back. Just looking at the box score, Tim Hardaway had 19 points. Again, you know, he showed up tonight. You never know when he's not going to. Luka, 27 points, 12 of 22. Kristaps, 16 points, 7 of 17. 7 of 17, 41%, 2 of 7 from 3. A negative 26. And I'm not a huge plus minus on a game-to-game basis, but this is now 2 games in a row when he's a massive negative in the plus minus section, and it's because he cannot play defense. You don't expect much from Dorian and Josh Richardson. Neither one of them played well. It's not their fault. They have been out due to COVID protocol. But that's it, you know. That's all I got. You know, this is more just a rant of frustration because of the way the Mavericks showed up, and I waited all day for this game. I wasted my evening on it when I could have been doing something else less productive. That's all I got for tonight, guys. Sorry about the doom and gloom, but that's the way I feel right now. And let's see what happens. I really hope they start making some changes. There's guys out there. I've mentioned them before. Al Horford, George Hill, sitting in Oklahoma City. No, they don't want them. They want to lose. They are trying to tank. You can get them for a first-round pick, probably, and Dwight Powell. Or, God forbid, you got to send Dorian. They wouldn't do it. Dorian's untouchable on this team. Ridiculous. Anyways, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks, bye.